Good afternoon, everyone. How you doing? Hope you're having a good week. I want to give you a quick announcement before we begin, which is that we're going to reopen the International English Service next week on May 31st. You may or may not know that the Japanese service has already reopened today from this morning, and we're going to join them next week. So I hope to see you there. And in the meantime, we've got one more video message for today. So let's begin. We're in Luke chapter 12, verse 22 to 34. See you soon.
Luke chapter 12, verses 22 to 34. Control freaks, beauty queens, and kingdom hearts. You may be wondering what I mean by control freaks. Control freaks are people who feel like they have to control whatever circumstance they are in, or if they are given a responsibility over money, over a situation, over a group of people, if they are not in control, they begin to freak out. They begin to become worried or stressed. Those would be control freaks. And Jesus' advice to combat that is to remember the ravens. And then we have beauty queens. And what I mean by beauty queens is not necessarily just women, but men or women who feel that they need to be recognized as valuable or worthy of admiration or recognition. And Jesus says, my advice to you is to look at the flowers of the field. Now, some of you might be wondering why there is a picture of money here. So what does money have to do with the kingdom hearts? Well, actually, the reason why we have money here is because this story is a continuation of Jesus' teaching from earlier in the chapter. So if you go up to verse 15 of Luke chapter 12, Jesus gives a warning and says, watch out, be on your guard. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. Greed. And then he says, life doesn't exist or consist in the abundance of possessions. He tells the parable of a rich man who stored up a lot of his abundant harvest. And God says, no, you were being foolish. And he says, this is how it will be for those who are not rich toward God. And so Jesus was pointing out the greed of this rich man. And then he says in verse 22, in our text for today, he says, therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life. And so Jesus is continuing his teaching, and that means we can draw a connection about greed, and greed being greed that leads to a kind of worry over our life, because we think that life consists in two things. One, what we will eat, and two, what we will wear. And so Jesus is warning us. Greed manifests itself in worry over food and clothing, but it goes much deeper than that. But on the surface level, that's what it looks like. And so let's go to our text for today, and starting in verse 22. In verse 22, Jesus says to his disciples, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or about your body, what you will wear. And in verse 23, life is more than food. Life is much more than just your food, and the body is more than clothes. So your life does not consist in food, and your life doesn't consist in your fashion. And to those who are the control freaks, those who are worried about the food, he says, consider the ravens. Consider the ravens. They don't sow or reap. They have no storeroom or barn, yet God feeds them. And how much more valuable you are than the birds. You need to look at yourself in reality, in God's reality, because you are worried about what you'll eat. And continuing to address those who are control freaks, he says in verse 25, "Who of you by worrying can add a single hour to your life? Since you cannot do this very little thing is to add a single hour to your life." You can't do that. So why do you worry about the rest? The reason he says that is because people tend to think that a long life equals a life that was wisely managed or wisely controlled. And he's saying, you can't even make your life 1 hour longer. Not actually, he says, not even one moment longer. And so what makes you think you really have any control? In fact, your control is not reality, and therefore it's not wise to think that way. So why do you worry about that? And then he moves on to the beauty queens. And he says in verse 27, consider how the wildflowers grow. They don't labor or spin, yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. The great King Solomon did not look even as beautiful to God as even the flowers of the field. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, how much more will he clothe you? And so Jesus talks about your value to God. And he says, you're much more valuable than the birds, and you're much more valuable than the flowers of the field. And so he says, what you need to do instead of worrying about your clothes and worrying about your food is to stop setting your heart on those things and running after them, those things, just like everybody else does. What you need is a heart that seeks the kingdom of God. And so he says, seek his kingdom, and these things will be given to you as well. Don't be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. And so how do you know that you have been given this kingdom? Well, one of those things is that your heart has been transformed so much that you're willing to lose your possessions and to sell them and to give them to the poor, because you understand that your purse is not in on earth, but your treasure is in heaven, where things will never fail, and there's no fear of being robbed or being destroyed. And he says, how do you know? Well, you know where your heart is. Your heart will reveal where your treasure is. That's why you need to be careful of what you worry about. And I want you to just notice something here. He says in verse 32, don't be afraid. And then in verse 22, if you go back, he says, don't worry. So Jesus is making a connection between worry and fear. And he's saying our fear is connected to our worry. We worry about losing control in our life. We worry about being recognized in our life. And that shows how little faith we have. So our worry is connected to our fear, which has a connection to our lack of faith. And our response should be to not set our hearts or run after those things motivated by our fear and our worry. So let's do a little bit of a review. Control and recognition. Jesus is addressing these two things in our lives. For those who are control freaks, what we are looking for is authority, dominion, and power. You know, we all, because of our Genesis DNA, have a desire to have authority and to have dominion and to have control over those things that we feel are under our care. The problem is, what we do is we have rejected God's authority and we have rebelled against God's dominion. And so we end up losing all of these things in the end. And we are exiled from our rightful kingdoms because of our pride and selfishness, our ambition. We ate the fruit of self-rule. And then also, a lot of us desire recognition. We have an innate desire to be recognized as valuable, even beautiful. That's also a part of our Genesis DNA. We want to be recognized for our value and our worth. But because of our selfishness and our pride, we base everything on ourselves. And in the end, we cover our shame and our insecurities by ourselves. So for all the control freaks and all the beauty queens, what we really end up with is less of what we're trying. We want more control, but we end up losing our health and our ability to control. We want more recognition and to be valued, and we end up being more lonely and more ashamed of who we are. And here's what makes it even worse. Money. Money gives us this illusion. And we tend to think that if I have more money, I have more control over what happens in my life. And not only that, if I have more money, I'm able to buy more recognition and more worth and value as a person. And so that's why Jesus says, be on your guard against all kinds of greed, because money tends to make us think that we're more in control when really we don't have any control. And money makes us think that we can buy our self-worth and value, when in fact, those are illusions. And Jesus' answer to this deep, deep problem in all of our hearts is the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is why Jesus came. The kingdom of God is what Jesus has come to bring to us. Why? Because the kingdom of God is a place where kings and queens rule and reign through service, submission, and sacrifice. Service to others, submission to one another, and sacrifice for each other. If you notice on the right side, I have a picture of the coronation of Queen Elizabeth II. And you have here, you can see her scepter and her crown, which were symbols of authority, power, dominion, and rule. And that's what God wants to give to us. But we have to learn that it is through service, submission, and sacrifice. But also notice her robe and her jewelry, her garments, very, very beautiful. And that is also a picture of God's kingdom. In God's kingdom, each of us have value, and each of us is valued. Each of us is beautiful, subjectively and objectively. We see ourselves as beautiful in God's sight, and we see ourselves, and others see us as beautiful because God sees us as beautiful. So that is the kingdom of God that Jesus has come to bring to us. And here's what Jesus says. Your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. In other words, God is happy to give us this kingdom. He is more than happy to bestow upon us control and recognition, power, dominion, beauty, and glory. But how do we receive it instead of taking it for ourselves? Well, there's two things we need to understand. We receive the kingdom as we freely relinquish or give up our rights. It comes as we give up our right to self-rule. We can have dominion when we lose our desire to control everything. And we can reign with authority when we understand that it is borrowed authority and not stolen. We receive the authority from God. We don't take it for ourselves. Also, we receive the kingdom as we see ourselves as beautiful as God sees us. We celebrate our perfect imperfections, and we seek to make others beautiful as well. Well, how do we know that we have entered the kingdom? We know that we have entered the kingdom when we understand how much God values us more than birds. And therefore, we don't need to worry about control. We know that we have entered the kingdom when we understand how beautiful God has made us, more beautiful than the flowers. Therefore, we don't need to please people and steal glory for ourselves. We don't need to be people pleasers. Finally, we know we have entered the kingdom when our possessions no longer possess us, to the degree that we are ready to sell it all for the poor. Why? Because the one in heaven treasures us. We can lay our treasures in heaven. Well, how is all of this accomplished? Well, here on the right, there's a picture of Queen Elizabeth, beautiful and majestic. And here on the left is the cross, the crown, and the robe. You see, the reason why God is able, or God is pleased, to give us the kingdom is because Jesus showed us how to do it. Jesus had all authority, all power, all dominion, all rule. And instead of a crown of glory and beauty and majesty, he took upon himself the thorn, the crown of thorns. He says, oh yeah, I don't need the control. I don't need to have all the power. I gain the power by giving up the power. I gain the authority by serving others and giving to others and sacrificing myself to others. I don't need the scepter. The scepter is service. And also the glory, the recognition. Jesus was given a robe and then stripped of it. He was stripped naked and bare of all his glory so that we, through him, by faith, are able to be seen in the way that God sees him. You see, it says, Jesus said to seek the kingdom and all these things will be added to you. Jesus sought the glory of God. Jesus sought the kingdom of heaven. And you know what? He was rejected. He was abandoned. He was forsaken. Why? So that we, through him, in his place, can receive what he gave up. That's how all of this was accomplished. And that's how we can receive the kingdom. Once more, because the one in heaven treasures us, we can lay our treasures in heaven. My friends, that's what Luke chapter 12, verses 23 through 34 is all about.
Okay, well, that's the end of our message for today, and I hope to see you on the Zoom chat following this. If not, God bless you, and have a great week, and hopefully we'll see you next week at church.